I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. The only announcements this evening are to recognize the passing of two volunteer firefighters this past week. One was Steve Jones, who retired in 2007. He had 23 years of service with Station Number 3, very actively involved in the community otherwise as well. And the other was Ken Carver, who had 32 years of service and then an additional 11 years service with the association. He was with Station 5. And we wish their families well and extend our deepest sympathies. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Addendum. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Before we get to disclosures of pecuniary interest, we have a sumptuous addendum relative to Planning and Development Services, the clarification of the application for the Niagara Waterfront Investment Program relative to Bay Beach. And that's item 10.1 under reports. Now to disclosures of pecuniary interest. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have in report, I guess IS 33-2016, as my company does business with CRL Campbell.
Any others? Madam Clerk, I have a pecuniary interest with respect to IS 33-2016. My daughter lives on the on the vicinity of the area that's going to be serviced by that drainage work. And also PDS 77-2016, the Stevensville Memorial Park improvements. One of my clients tendered on that project. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to deal with that or vote on that. So if there are no other disclosures, then I will say that there are four upcoming public meetings, and this is notice of those meetings. The first is a public information meeting relative to the town-initiated housekeeping amendment zoning bylaw set for September the 22nd, 2016 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall atrium. Public meeting on with respect to the same topic, town-initiated housekeeping amendment. The actual public meeting will take place on October the 3rd, 2016 at 6 p.m. in the council chambers. And the report for that will be available on our website on September the 28th. It's a public meeting with respect to the draft plan of vacant land condominium revisions for Dominion Woods, Inc. And that will be held on October the 3rd as well at 6 p.m. in the town council chambers. Again, the report for that will be available Wednesday, September the 28th. And finally, a public meeting for the draft plan of subdivision and combined official plan and property rezoning for the Royal Oak property subdivision. And that is October the 3rd, also at 6 p.m. in the town council chambers. And the report for that information report will be available September the 28th. There is a public meeting this evening under the Drainage Act, and we will hear information from our drainage superintendent, Dave Maiden, as well as the engineer appointed to do this work, who I understand is Neil Morris. And we will hear from, council will hear from those individuals, and then if there are members of the public who wish to speak to council with respect to the report, we will provide them with an opportunity to do so. So, Mr. Maiden, would you please come forward then and provide us with the background? And we do have some overhead maps, I hope.
Worship, members of council, general public, we're here for our meeting to consider the engineer's report for the St. John's Marsh Drain. I would like to say that I'd like to hold any comments or concerns in regards to assessments to a later date, which will be taken care of at the Court of Revision and or the Tribunal. This evening's discussion should be in regards to technical matters only, in regards to the engineer's design, etc. I'd like to introduce Mr. Neil Morris, who is the engineer for Case Smarts and Associates, who is the engineer on this project. He can give you some technical background and some information in regards to the design on the drain.
Excuse me, Mr. Maiden, just before you sit down. So questions with respect to the assessments are going to be deferred until when?
That would be done at the Court of Revision or at the Tribunal.
All right. So you're suggesting people can't ask us questions?
They can, but they have to keep them to a minimum. We have no right to make any decisions right at this time.
Right. We get that. But I think there may be some clarification that some residents may want. I don't know that, but you've provided the parameters of what you're speaking about. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you, Your Worship, and honored councillors and members of the public. I'm pleased to present the report for the St. John's Marsh Drain. This report is approximately $300,000construct, including engineering costs and administration. Of that, about $240,000 is to the lands in the municipality or town of Fort Erie, and the remainder are assessed to Port Colborne and Niagara Falls. The drain consists of approximately 1,900 meters of open ditch. This goes along an existing, this is an existing municipal drain. It hasn't been maintained since the 1940s. So we are basically, since it's in so bad of shape, we're basically recreating the drain that's there. It involves, like I said, a ditch clean out, as well as brushing along the ditch, and we are constructing a couple environmental features on it, Newberry weirs, as well as sediment traps, which in consultation with the Conservation Authority and MNR were put in into the drain. And this also, it's a two-stage ditch, which is, again, another environmental feature that comes along from consultation with the conservation authorities. So the entire aspect of the watershed is approximately 1,160 hectares, and the majority of that is within the town of Fort Erie, and the remainder is in the neighboring municipalities. And I'd like to close it at that point. Thank you.
So I wonder if you could just, I know that we've got the map up there. I wonder if you could just, and it's not really that good a map, but I wonder if you could just maybe highlight the boundaries of that. We can see it on the map that we've got, and maybe if you just kind of outline where that drain is. The hash,
So I don't know if you can see on the screen, everyone. Let me just make it a little bit bigger for everyone. Okay, so roughly where the hand is right now is Netherby Road, and it runs from Netherby Road south, crossing College Road, as well as Fox Road and the railway line, and exits at the Black Creek, which is between House Road and Point Avenue. So that's where the location of the drain is between. It's bounded on the north end by Netherby, and on the east end by House Road, west end by Point Avenue, and goes down to the Black Creek, or roughly where Fox Road is.
That's within Fort Erie, but doesn't it go north of Netherby Road?
Yes, the existing drain does go north of it and goes into Niagara Falls, and there's another engineer's report that's dealing with that aspect of the drain.
And does that engineer's report for Niagara Falls deal with costs associated with Niagara Falls?
Yes, that would deal with the cost for associated with Niagara Falls.
And so then I'm assuming the same thing happens with the portion of the drain that's in Port Colborne.
Yes. Well, the portion that's in Port Colborne, the physical drain isn't in Port Colborne. Port Colborne is assessed an outlet assessment, so they're in the watershed, but the drain doesn't actually touch anything within their municipal boundaries.
But there will be some assessments against property owners in Port Colborne?
Yes. There's another drain, the Shill Award Drain, I think that's Shill Award Drain, which is a branch of St. John's Marsh Drain that goes into Port Colborne.
Thank you. Before you sit down, Mr. Morris, are any members of council have any questions? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Mr. Morris, what is a two-stage ditch? I'm not familiar with that.
A two-stage ditch basically has a smaller ditch, a smaller V-notch in the ditch, and then it goes into a larger ditch. So basically what it does is, if you can imagine, I don't know if you know a floodplain. So what we have is a small low-flow notch in the existing ditch to take the waters that would normally go through the ditch. And this is designed to have water essentially in there permanently, a small amount of water going through there. And then when we get major storms, it will overtop the smaller ditch and go into the main ditch. So that's what this two-stage ditch is for. What it does is it tends to have a better flow characteristics with a two-stage ditch. If you just have the big ditch, what ends up happening is, this is a little more technical, but basically because the water is spread out over a larger area, surface area, more debris and grass comes up, so it slows down the water. So the ditch doesn't work as well, but having this smaller ditch that's always clear will let the water drop down better than having just a straight trapezoidal channel. Okay?
Any other councillors? Councillor Lieberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just looking at the map itself, the watershed, there's two watersheds here I'm looking at. It says the marsh drain watershed with the heavy black dotted line.
Yeah.
And then it says the intermediate. What's the difference between, why is there an intermediate in a watershed and a watershed?
Okay, so what we do with our assessments to follow the drainage act a little bit more is we break the drain up into smaller sub watersheds. Under the drainage act, you're only supposed to pay for the section of the drain that your water flows through. So what we've done is we've broken up the major watershed into smaller ones. So if you're a landowner and your water only flows through a portion of the drain, you're only paying for that portion. So that's what the sub-watersheds are. We've broken it up into smaller watersheds based on sort of the ditches and the roads that flow into this one to account for that. So it's a little bit easier for the drainage superintendent also to assess out the costs in the future as well. That makes sense?
Not really, no. Who's being assessed? The intermediate gets assessed as well as?
It depends on where work is done. So I'll give you an example. So right here where my mouse is, right here at the bottom end.
Yeah.
So if we do work in that section, everyone in the watershed will be assessed.
Including the intermediate?
Yes, yes. So, but if we're doing, let's see, this section up here, since the intermediate watershed goes along here, only the people upstream would be assessed and not these downstream landowners. So we've sort of broken it up into to help the drainage superintendent, which areas would be assessed for future maintenance.
Councilor Lieberts?
Yes, but I'm looking at, you're saying that the one portion there, the people, everybody above that will be assessed.
Yes.
And then what's the difference between the intermediate watershed and the main watershed? That's what I'm getting at. I don't understand why you would even have two of them if there's no difference.
Well, like I said,
I know you break them up, but
yeah. So this one right here. So if work happens within this section of the drain right here, We've set it up in our schedules for future maintenance that this these lands down here wouldn't pay for that section if maintenance was done. So we've already sort of broken the major watershed into smaller pieces for the ease for future maintenance.
So is there any other reason other than ease of future maintenance? I think that's what Councillor Lubritz is getting at.
Not really. There is something a little bit for the construction that happens as well. So the same thing applies. Landowners down in this section here don't pay for any of the work that happens above them. But it's the same principle. You only pay for work that either your water from your land flows through the drain, or if it directly benefits the drainage right along your property. So that's why we break it up.
Yes, thank you very much. Looking at that, I was always under the impression that everybody above the outlet, wherever it outlets into, would be assessed. So from the beginning of the drain, you're being assessed just for your portion, and then as you move up. So this is going to outlet into Black Creek. That's where all the water is going to go. So the people at the far end where it starts, they will pay for any work they won't pay for any work that's done below them towards the outlet, but they will pay for the work that's done above them. Is that how that works?
It would be sort of, I think it would be the reverse. So they would only pay for the work that's above them. Or sorry, they'd only pay for the work that's below them, downstream of them, not for the work. So if you're, you only pay for work that, like I said, the drain. So if there's water, if your the water off your property flows and uses the lower part of it, you only pay for that section. But if your water flows through all of the drain, you pay for all the section. Like you pay for the whole thing at that point.
Okay, so to make it simpler for me, let's start at Black Creek. From Black Creek to the first Canadian National Railway, if we did work there, the only people that would pay an assessment are the people from Black Creek to the railroad. Anybody above that wouldn't pay.
No, everyone who contributes to that would pay for that for that one. So everyone in the watershed pays for that interval. If you were to go between College and Netherby, if you're a property along Fox Road, you wouldn't pay for any work that happens between College and Netherby. So like I said, it's you only pay for work that your land drains to. That makes
okay.
I hope that's clear.
Yeah, that's clear there. I still don't get the idea of the intermediate watershed and the main watershed. Maybe I'll talk to Dave about that and get a better, clearer understanding.
It's basically just breaking it up into smaller sub-watersheds. So that's what's happening. They're all within the St. John's Marsh drain. It's just smaller sections of smaller watersheds within it. I don't know if you're familiar with the MPC in this area. They have major watersheds. Their major one would be the entire Niagara Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority land, and then they would have the well and river being a sub-watershed to it. That's sort of what we've done in this situation, or Black Creek being a sub-watershed. That's sort of what we've done here, is broken up into sub-watersheds.
Yeah, I understand that, but when I'm looking at this here, I mean, let's look at the map. We have a small, heavy, black dotted line that reaches, I guess it looks like it's going in towards Niagara Falls. Then it comes down by Black Creek. Then we have a heavy black square. And you're saying that you subdivide them into smaller groups. Well, the intermediate one is large, and sometimes it's outside the black line, and sometimes the black line is outside the intermediate. And I'm not understanding how you get some parts of the drain is outside the intermediate lines, and sometimes the intermediate line is outside the heavy black line.
Okay, I think I see what your problem is, or the misunderstanding. This, where the mouse is right now, this heavy dashed line right here,
yeah,
that is an enlargement line. So that's not a watershed line, that's an enlargement line.
But that's not what the legend says.
Right here, it says this area is for an enlargement. The major watershed boundary is this line right here, and the sub watershed boundaries are one of them would be this line right here.
All right. Okay. I'm looking. Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Then I guess my question was, what's with the enlargement? Are we just enlarging that little area that's just for
the enlargement is because there are so many small properties. To identify them, we have the enlargement to show all the individual properties.
All right.
So that's what that's for.
Okay, I thought that was the watershed.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Mike.
No problem.
Thanks.
Anything further, Councillor Lubberts? Any other councillors? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through yourself to Mr. Maiden. Hi, Mr. Morris. Good to see you. The work that's being done on this drain, how will it benefit the landowners that are on other drains, such as the Shill Drain?
Shill Drain isn't really officially a drain yet. It's not a municipal drain. I believe Port Colborne is in the process of turning that into a municipal drain. It should help. It is an outlet for the Shill Drain. So there should be the ability to get rid of more water if the Shill Drain becomes a municipal drain and it does get taken care of.
Okay, I had, if I may continue, Your Worship, I had an inquiry by two of my constituents that live between Fox Road and the CN line on Holloway Bay Road. And they were inquiring because they saw that the marsh drain report was coming to council, and if that Shill Drain, because they live right at those properties that the Shill Drain runs through the middle of, the two of them there, 31-165-10 and 31-164.
Are these the properties on Holloway Bay Road?
They are.
Adjacent to the Shill Drain, yes.
Correct, yes. And they were wondering if Fort Erie was responsible for cleaning out the Shill Drain, or if that would be part of Port Colborne's responsibility.
It's part of neither's responsibility at this time. As it's not a municipal drain, I believe they can do work themselves on an award drain. But at this time, neither municipality has the ability to get in there and do work on private property.
Okay. Thank you. That's good information. I can relate to them.
Any other questions before I go to the public? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just some of the comments, maybe Mr. Madden, maybe you can answer this. The maintenance. It was said that we haven't maintained this drain since the 40s.
I believe it was the last engineer's report was 1948.
And what do you recommend that we do as a municipality to make sure that our drains start getting maintained on a regular basis? Because not being maintained since 1940 and knowing that, you know, I mean, I've been seeing reports now for two terms of council, and we're constantly running into drainage problems. And my opinion, it's because the municipal drains aren't cleaned out, and we don't have proper drainage. So what would you recommend that we do in the future to make sure that we keep maintaining our...
Well, first step of the process will be to get caught up. Like to get work done on a drain like the St. John's Marsh. We have to get caught up. And then the next step is to set a precedent of general maintenance. I'm presently working on a 10-year program so that every drain will be taken care of, hopefully in a 10-year period. Unfortunately, the cost of doing new construction, which this basically will be, is new construction because it hasn't been maintained in such a long time. But once we do get the drains caught up, if we get to a maintenance schedule for all the drains and say we maintain every drain every 3 or 4 years and do a couple every in those years, in that time frame, we should be able to stay current. So it's a matter of setting up a maintenance schedule for the municipal drains.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to let you know, the reason I brought that up is because when I was reading some stuff about the drainage, and I think we got some other drainage issues that we were dealing with, one of the things was is if we didn't do anything, that the property owners could come back to us as a municipality if we don't, if they incur some damages to their properties.
Yes, that is correct.
And with the improper maintenance, going back to 1940, you know, we put ourselves in a position of liability.
And the unfortunate part with the old engineer's report is things have changed, regulations have changed, the number of lots, the type of facilities that are within that drainage area could be a subdivision now, as we had with Black Creek, et cetera. So that's why we have to update our engineer's reports at this time.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Maiden, before you sit down, do you have any explanation as to what happened between 2002 and 2014 with respect to this drain?
Unfortunately, I don't really have a comment in regards to that. I think it was a backlog of the
other
engineer.
Drains. Yeah.
I can't really give you an honest comment on that.
That's good, and we wouldn't want a dishonest comment. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Maiden. I'm going to ask then if there are any members of the public that have any questions with respect to this or who would wish to address council with respect to the issue. It will be the first drain public meeting that we've had where there has been no member of the public wanting to address us. So I'm pleased to close this public meeting and thank both Mr. Maiden and Mr. Morris. And there will be a report coming up on this later in our agenda. That takes us to consent agenda items. Councillor Butler, you had another item?
I did. Thank you, Your Worship. I wanted to mention that IS-30-2016, I also have a conflict with CRL. Campbell Construction is a client of ours.
Okay, so based on the declarations of pecuniary interest, both IS-30 and IS-33 need to be removed from the consent agenda package and dealt with separately, which leaves a diminished package. Is there anyone who would like to move the consent agenda package as amended? Councillor Zanko. Are there any questions then with respect to the items that remain in the package? If there are no questions, I've got a couple of questions. And the first relates to report IS-29. And this has to do with Dominion Road, the reconstruction of the water services. And I know that this is a $3.2 million local water line that the region is going to be installing and is going to be handing over to the municipality. And I see we're responsible for long-term a cost of that. But at the end of the report, I noticed, Mr. Waltz, that staff is still not happy with this resolution. And why is that?
Thank you for the forum, Mr. Mayor. Our discussions with the region have involved their policies regarding when a region main can serve as both a trunk water main and a local distribution main, such as exists right now. They do not have a policy on that, which has led to me questioning them as to why they can just give us a water main. I have not received a satisfactory answer in that regard. The second question that I have to the region is with respect to their management of their assets. This water main is 40 or so years old, which is relatively short in the lifespan of a water main. And it shouldn't be, in my opinion, at a time when it needs to be replaced. So looking at the water rate payers on whole in the region, I think they're getting not the best deal in this construction project.
So Regional Public Works and at the Regional Council, Mr. Walsh, one of the explanations was that it's not ideal to have lateral connections to a water main because of the potential for backwater getting into that and perhaps contaminating the supply of water.
That was one of our questions we addressed. That was my initial assumption as to why they were forcing the local water main onto it. I assumed it was through protection of quality of water. In meetings, they said, no, that's not the case at all. They're looking for protection of supply of water to Stevensville, was their direct quote, to which we replied, there are three alternate routes to get water to Stevensville if this main is out of service.
Just so that I've got this clear, my understanding is there's still going to be a regional water main on Dominion Road.
Correct.
But there will now be a local distribution line to which 46 current customers will be hooking up to. Some speculation in this report that there may be others who are illegally connected, which I would find hard to believe you could connect to a water main. But in any event, there's also the potential for others who don't have water service to hook into our local line. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Wouldn't that be preferable from our perspective to have them on municipal water as opposed to groundwater?
I think if they're on a well right now, the well is safe for drinking, whether direct from the groundwater or through subsequent treatment in-house. My personal preference is to hook up to a water main. But regardless of whether the well is fine or my personal preference, and whether it's a town water main or a region water main, we can still hook up to the water main. The ownership is just a paper exercise.
Well, except the region doesn't really want laterals to be connected to their main water trunk, correct?
That's correct, but they haven't set a policy as to why that is or is not their preference.
All right. They're going to be constructing this water line as part of the reconstruction of Dominion Road, and they're going to give us the water line, correct?
That's correct.
You're not suggesting that we refuse it?
No, I'm not. I don't think we have a choice in this, actually.
I don't think we do either, so you were just venting.
Yes, I was.
Okay. And I guess I gave you the form, so... I hope you
Which
feel,
I appreciate.
Hope you feel better. Okay. Are there any questions arising out of that? If not, thank you, Mr. Waltz, for your candor, at least on that. I had some questions with respect to the IS-31, which deals with the contract for the removal of some more dead and dying ash trees. This report speaks to removal of trees on Buffalo, Ferndale, Crescent, and Daytona. What's the situation in terms of trees on Scott, Parkdale, Lakeside, Lakeview, and Grandview?
Mr. Mayor, specifically, I do not know. I do know that we have three more contracts to issue throughout the year. We are concentrating in Crescent Park right now, so I would suspect that if there are trees on those streets, they will be coming down before the end of the year. The goal is to get out of Crescent Park this year.
Right. Okay, I'd appreciate that. If you could maybe just circulate what the situation is. These roads where the trees are being removed seem to have a lot of ash trees, and it may be that they're the ones that have the most ash trees on the boulevard. But if you could maybe provide us with a little brief information, or if our arborist could maybe just give us an idea of what the plan is going forward in Crescent Park, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. If I may add one thing, we do have a report scheduled for the October 17th council and committee meeting, updating council on the status of our tree removal works for this year and going forward.
All right. I can wait. With respect to the second quarter financial report, Mr. Jansen, that's CS18. The question with respect to the Niagara Parks Commission, you made a reference on page 4 to the annual payment from the Niagara Parks Commission. There's going to be an unfavorable variance. Could you explain that, please?
Certainly. The town previously was billing and collecting a revenue amount, an annual payment from the Niagara Parks Commission that was based on assessment, as has been the practice for the town for many, many years. It was recently appealed and reassessed to be exempt due to some provincial legislation. And so the town is now negotiating directly with the Niagara Parks staff to come up with a fee for that would be tied to the services the town does provide, but that would be an annual voluntary payment by the parks to the town. And so initially, this is arised basically this year. So the amount that was budgeted was for the expected assessed amount, and this is where we expect for the negotiated amount to potentially be less than that.
Okay. Are you negotiating for more?
For as much as possible, yes. Yeah.
Start asking for more, I would suggest. Okay. Are there any other questions? If not, then I'll call the vote on the items in the consent agenda package. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. I will entertain a motion with respect to report IS-30. Councillor McDermott, are there any questions with respect to that report, which relates to the award of tender for Nye Road Municipal Drain Improvements? There are none. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, I wonder if I could hand you the chair to deal with report IS-33, in which I and Councillor Butler have a pecuniary interest. Sorry, is it IS-33? No. Okay, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a mover on this one? Well, thank you, Don. Councillor Roberts. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. That then takes us to infrastructure services, and is that Councillor Zanko? You have the chair.
Thank you, Your Worship. Infrastructure Services is now in session. We don't have any presentations or delegations this evening, so it brings us to report IS-32-2016, St. John's Marsh Drain 2016, filing of engineer's report as per Section 78 of the Ontario Drainage Act, RSO 1990, CD-17. Can I get a mover? Councillor McDermott, are there any questions or comments with regard to this report? Councillor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on my question to Mr. Maiden earlier, if we look at page 5 of the report under policies affecting the proposal, the second paragraph in there kind of summarizes what I was saying, that should council decide not to proceed with drainage works and landowners incur losses, the municipality can be held liable for such damages or losses under the Drainage Act. So I'm just wondering if staff maybe should be putting together a schedule for the drainage works that we've done, that we're going to be doing, and drainage work that's already been done in the past few years. And I know that Mr. Maiden said that we should be getting caught up, but are we going to put together a maintenance plan for the drainage works that we've already done? Because I don't want them to get behind while we're trying to catch up.
Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment on that, or Mr. Maiden?
No, I'll take it. Thank you. In last year's budget, let me preface that by saying Mr. Maiden's been our drainage superintendent for a year and a half now, I think since November of 2014. He had quite a backlog of work when he stepped into the position, and through his yeoman's work, he is making progress. As council noted earlier, it did take a long time to get this report to the table. That seems to be typical for drainage reports lately. There's such a volume of work throughout Ontario, and there's a dearth of consultants that can undertake the work. Now, that being said, Mr. Maiden laid out in last year's capital budget a 10-year program with specific projects in there. And that'll be updated shortly as we grind through our capital budget preparations in the next 3 weeks. I believe that's going to be presented November 2nd to council for deliberation. So we do have a plan in place, and it's just a matter of ensuring that the plan is carried out.
Thank you. Anything further, Councilor Roberts?
Yes, thank you very much. So if I understand it correctly, then as well as future works for drainage, we're also going to maintain what we've done. I think that's important that we do that, because I hate to see us get behind like we are now. And I know there's a lot of work involved in all of this because of the backlog, because it hasn't been done so for so many years, but as long as we're assured that the works that have been done previously are going to be maintained, as well as new works being brought forward, then I'm happy with that.
Are there any additional comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Report carries. That now brings us to report IS 34-2016, adoption in principle of the transit route bus stop and facility improvements plan, phases 1 and 2, project number ISE 16P, BUSS 16. Can I get a mover for this report? Councilor Knott. That report is now on the floor. Are there any questions or comments? Councilor Butler.
Thank you, Chair Zanko. Madam Chair, I'm just wondering why we haven't had a presentation with respect to this before receiving this report.
Mr. Walsh, would you like to comment?
If it's Council's wish, we can bring the consultant in to give a presentation.
Madam Chair, I'd like to table this until we have a presentation, because there's a lot of material in here and I see some things that are not part of the discussions that took place, and I'd like to get a more fulsome picture.
Question is, when would that be to?
Through you, Madam Chair, to Mr. Walsh, when could we have a presentation, and if there's a delay of 1 month to table this to the next infrastructure meeting, would that be hurtful? Postponed.
Through you, Madam Chair. I was just contemplating our budget timelines as we go forward here, and the costs involved with the transit system go to our operating budget, which is due for submission through staff later in the year, so it shouldn't affect it. If I may, Carla Stout, can we get could we get Wally here in 2 weeks? We can get back to council on that. We can have him present at the next council and committee meeting if he's available, and failing that, the meeting afterwards, which would be October 17th.
Okay. Are there any questions with respect to the timing of the tabled motion, postponed motion? All those in favor? That carries. Are there any items of new business or inquiries by council? Councilor Butler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if Mr. Walsh can tell me if the Land Committee has, I don't think it's the Land Committee, the Traffic Committee is what I meant to say, I apologize. If the Traffic Committee has analyzed and come to a conclusion with respect to speed signage and crosswalks in the downtown Ridgeway core, specifically for the speed in the downtown core crosswalks for the farmers market and additional stop signs in front of the Ridgeway Public School.
I know I can tell you we do have an upcoming traffic committee meeting October 15th, I believe, but Mr. Walsh, did you want to comment with regard to the specifics that Councilor Butler just mentioned?
My apologies, Madam Chair. I don't have the agenda in front of me. I can't give you whether it's on or off. I know it's on or it's under study at least. One of the things I think we need out of our traffic coordinating committee is to develop a policy with respect to traffic calming. It's becoming quite a complex matter with respect to traffic engineering, and we're getting more and more requests for traffic calming measures. And I think it's time that Fort Erie moved into the modern age and studied formalized processes for the requirement of traffic calming in the first place, and secondly, what measures we can and should take if warranted. But I'll get back to you on the first request shortly.
Councilor Butler?
And one last question with respect to that. Is there any way that your traffic committee can start communicating with those requests instead of leaving us in the dark?
Through you, Madam Chair. When a request comes in, we try and respond right away that we've received your request. It's been forwarded to the appropriate staff member for study, and we're trying to put out a time frame as to when that response would come back to at least Traffic Coordinating Committee. If we haven't done that in this case, my apologies.
Thank you. Apology accepted, and it hasn't been done in this case. I have just a couple of more questions with respect to, and you and I have spoken about this, Mr. Walsh, with respect to the lights that currently are not being put up, specifically on Grove. I know that there's a situation with the contractor. Can you please tell me if you have any timelines now established?
Again, through you, Madam Chair, we do not have timelines right now. We are at the point with our streetlight contractor where they have about 50 lights to install, as well as some contractual issues to settle with us. We are at the point with them where they will be getting a fish or cut bait notice this week. They either give us a time frame to get these installed at an acceptable time frame to staff, or they will be removed from the project and we will issue a separate quote for installation within the next month or two.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anything further? Are there, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you to staff, I'm wondering if we could take a look at the trees in the neighborhood of Barron Drive. It's a relatively younger subdivision and neighborhood, but the trees are now reaching the age where the branches are kind of at poke you in the eye height. And if we could have somebody go out and take a look, all the trees were planted at the same time, so it's kind of an issue throughout, but I've had a couple of residents express a concern, so if we could look at that and maybe see an arborist's opinion, or the next time we're going through, if we could take a look at maybe trimming some of the lower lying branches down. And secondly, Madam Chair, just a quick note, I wanted to thank the staff who were involved in setting up the drinking water quality management system training that we had last week. I thought it was excellent. I want to thank the gentleman and his colleague who came down from the Walkerton Water Training Center. This is my sixth year sitting in this chair, and I learned a lot of new things. So I'm hoping that we can forward that, Mr. Walsh, to my colleagues who are not able to make it due to scheduling conflicts. It was a great training session, and like I said, even though I think during the next term of council, probably something to do sooner rather than later, definitely learned a lot and appreciate staff's time in making that happen. Thank you.
Madam Chair, on that, I do have presentation materials for the three councillors that could not make the session. They're up in my office right now. I meant to bring them down, but I'll get them to you shortly.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any other comments or inquiries of new business? That brings us to the business status report. Are there any questions with regard to the report? Seeing none, that concludes Infrastructure Services. I will hand the chair back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That takes us to Corporate and Community Services. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Corporate and Community Services is in session. No presentations or delegations. Looking for a mover for CS 19-2016 and the following recommendation: that Council amends the budget for the Fire and Emergency Services Organizational Review from $15,000 to $50,000, with the additional $35,000 to be funded from the General Levy Rate Stabilization Reserve.
So moved.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Comments or questions regarding CS 19-2016? Seeing none, all in favor? That carries. Next, if I could have a mover for CS 20-2016 with the following recommendations: that Council approves the request to permit the existing second-story overhang encroachment on Queen Street and Arcane Street appurtenant to the building located at 43 Queen Street, and further, that Council waives the requirements of the Municipal Road Allowance Encroachment Policy, Bylaw Number 89-07, as amended in this instance. A mover, please. Councillor McDermott, thank you. Comments or questions? None. All in favor? That is carried. Last report, CS 21-2016, and the following recommendations: that Council receives for information the 2017 budget forecast as explained in report number CS 21-2016 and quantified in Appendix 1 and 2, and further, that Council approves the proposed 2017 budget timetable as per Appendix 3. Moved by Councillor Zanko. Comments or questions? Mayor Redekop and then Councillor Luberts.
First comment has to do with the timetable. And October the 31st, which is 2 days before November the 2nd, is the fifth Monday in October. And I'm going to be going away. So I've spoken to Mr. Jansen about the possibility of scheduling it for November the 9th, the following Wednesday, mindful of the fact that we have to give notification to the public of the bylaw, which is scheduled for November 28th. You're away November the 9th? October the... Sorry? This is a timetable. So you're going to be missing the council meeting on November the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
We're looking at Appendix 3, which is the very last page of the report, listing the budget timetable beginning September 19th, and then the mayor is looking to reschedule the meeting currently scheduled for Wednesday, November 2nd.
October 31st is the fifth Monday of the month, which means that we don't have a council meeting, which means that we get away during that stretch, which I am. So I'm leaving the 26th. What about on the 8th? Could we do it on the 25th? Early?
October 25th, Mr.
Yeah.
Jansen?
Through the chair to the mayor, at this point, with the internal deadlines we've set with staff, that would be putting some larger demands, and we would appreciate the extra time to prepare that for that date at this point.
So just refresh If we could, Mr. Chair, Mr. Jansen has indicated, I know that I spoke to him earlier today, and he indicated, or his assistant indicated, we need five days notice to the public. And the newspaper that's utilized is a paper that publishes on Thursdays. So realistically, the meeting would have to be scheduled so that publication could happen on no later than the 17th.
Unless we push our bylaw forward, I'd like to get a comment from Mr. Walsh on the ramifications from moving the bylaw back out a little bit as far as our capital tendering procedure.
I don't know that we'd want to do that. Move it further later in the year.
But I'd like to hear a comment, yeah, to the next regular council meeting, or if we could add a special council meeting at the tail end of the Council and Budget Committee number 2, would give us that extra week.
Which is scheduled for?
December 7th.
Mr. Walsh, I'm sorry, you're the chair.
Old habits die hard. Mr. Walsh?
As Mr. Jansen says, pushing it forward 1 week, I think is detrimental to the process. It's as council can appreciate, it's not just slamming some numbers in a spreadsheet and hope it balances. There's a lot of fine tuning to do.
I'm looking at moving it later 1 week.
Yeah, I was going to say if I make a suggestion, the 14th for our capital budget meeting, as you can't make it the 7th or that date. That should not affect the undertaking of future capital works, because we're not going to start those until January 1st anyways.
I think where we're going is you were suggesting that we could have a special council meeting on the 5th to deal specifically with the capital budget bylaw, which would mean that we could have the meeting to deal with the capital budget on November the 16th. How does that fit, Mr. Jansen, Mr. Walsh?
I think that would give us sufficient time. I know in general we try to advance the capital budget as early in the fall as possible or in the winter there. But if we were to have it on the 14th?
16th. The meeting, Mr. Jansen, would be on the 16th, and we would, if we have to, as far as notice goes, we would push the capital budget bylaw back to December 7th.
Yes, that we'd have enough public notice to do that at that time, yeah.
December 5th.
December 7th.
Is a Wednesday. We would...
Either, yeah.
We could do it immediately after the committee meeting on the 5th, yeah.
Are there any conflicts for members of council with November 16th? So as it stands right now, consensus from staff is moving the Council and Budget Committee 1 from November 2nd to November 16th. Seeing none, would somebody like to make that amendment? Councilor McDermott? So the amendment then is just to adjust from November 2nd to the 16th. Are there any issues with the balance of the schedule? Okay, let's do that one first then. All in favor of the 2nd to the 16th, that's carried. Further concerns regarding the schedule, Mayor Redekamp?
So just to follow up with the timing then of that, the bylaw would be presented instead of at November the 28th. How about a special council meeting on December the 5th, which is the following Monday?
Immediately following our council and committee meeting.
Exactly.
Any concerns with that, Madam Clerk?
I would defer that to Jonathan Jansen.
Jonathan Jansen?
Yeah, that's acceptable for us.
Someone like to make that amendment? Councillor Zanko, so we will move the capital budget bylaw from November 28th to December 5th, immediately following council and committee. Questions on that? Seeing none, all in favor? Mayor Redekamp, you still have the floor.
Thank you. On
Madam Clerk? We haven't finished. We're still fine-tuning. Yeah. I still have one more on the speaker's list.
With respect to page 4, under expenses, there's a reference to an increase in wages and benefits. This is a projected increase in wages and benefits. And I know that somewhere else in this report, there was a reference to the fact that we're $100,000 under because of the timing of. Are we going to require a full $228,000 in additional funding for wages and benefits for 2017?
Mr. Jansen?
Through the chair to the mayor. I believe you're referring to the quarterly variance report, the separate report that did deal with projecting some changes. And yes, in 2016, we are projecting a surplus due to turnover and other factors, some factors of which are dependent on results, even related to safety and so on. As for 2017 with that number, keep in mind a couple of things. Number one is we are at the end of the current collective bargaining agreement, so those amounts very much are loose forecasts at this point. The negotiations related to that will be subject of an upcoming closed session meeting to deal with that. So at this point, that is an estimate, our best estimate, based on last year's forecast.
Mayor Riddick?
Thank you. Then on in Appendix 1 and also page 3, there's a reference to some one-time private funding that was received in 2016 that isn't anticipated in 2017. What does that relate to?
Mr. Jansen?
It was page 3 and also in Appendix 1 where there's a reduction for loss of one-time private funding.
Just at the bottom of page 3, Mr. Jansen, the general levy, revenue is a decrease of $346,900 in grant revenue due to one-time private funding.
That's not immediately available. That's fine. I'm quite happy to receive that information later.
Yeah, I would have to look at some of the background. I didn't have the detailed schedules with that one, but I believe that would be related primarily to the OMPF funding. The grant funding for that one is never released by the province beyond the current year, so there would be some assumed decreases in that because we're not able to forecast it.
So why would, if I might, Mr. Chair, why would we be assuming that there would be decreases? Is that what has happened over the last 2 or 3 years?
Mr. Jansen?
Through the chair, we actually did receive a sizable increase last year. It was the $403,000 that council applied towards one-time road resurfacing additional works. The formula for the OMPF funding, it only guarantees municipalities 80% of the prior year's funding. So depending on any changes they may make to the formula, our conservative estimate is a decrease from that.
All right. And do we anticipate any other provincial grant funding that will either replace or exceed that?
Mr. Jansen?
There are programs being announced this fall. Most of them are on the capital side with respect to operating. We do have the stable OCIF funding, but that's also capital in nature, so we don't have any other operating grants to confirm at this point.
Okay, and I think it's fair to say that this is the view of the budget at this stage, subject to the consultations and further information as we go along and the deliberations. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
And taking into consideration anything that we had talked about in 2016 as a carry forward. So, Mr. Jansen, just to carry on with the mayor's point, that sentence there then, the $346,900 then is a combination of all grant revenue lost, which would include one-time private funding and the OMPTF fund. It's not just $346,900 in loss of private funding and then a further loss due to the OMPF.
That's correct. It's a combination of all grant programs the town currently receives based on the best information we have. And I'll just add, I think private actually is a word that should be removed there.
Okay. Councillor Lubberts. No, nothing further. Comments or questions from the balance of council? Seeing none, all in favor of the recommendation as a question, Mayor Redekamp?
No, just voting early and voting often.
You slept on the last one, so now he's getting it ahead of time.
I want to get two votes in case it's tight.
All in favor of the recommendation as amended. That's carried. New business or inquiries under corporate and community services. Seeing none, comments or questions regarding the CCS business status reports. Seeing none, I'll turn the chair back to Mayor Redekamp.
Thank you very much, Councillor Becerra. That takes us to planning and development services. Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. There are no delegations tonight. We have a couple of reports. So we'll start with 10.1, PDS 78-2016, which is the addendum to the agenda. Next to that, we'll go to something else. PDS 77-2016, award of contract for Stevensville Memorial Park improvements. The recommendation is that council awards a contract for improvements to Stevensville Memorial Park to Lawns and More Incorporated in the amount of $129,950, including HST and further, that council amends the Stevensville Memorial Park capital project to increase construction costs by $40,000 and increase grant funding by $40,000 to reflect grant funding from the Canada 150 Community Infrastructure Program. Could I have a mover? Councillor Nutt?
Sorry, I didn't realize that Lawns and More was part of this, and I need to declare a conflict of interest. I apologize.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Any comments or questions? Councillor Becerra?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to commend my colleague, Councillor Nutt, as well as a couple of the service clubs who are noted in the report for fighting for that pavilion. I think it will be an integral and very well-utilized component of the park improvements. So thank you for him for helping to lead that charge, and thank you to the Kinnett and Kinsman Clubs of Stevensville and also the Firefighters Association of Stevensville for coming through with those dollars to make it happen.
Any more? Councillor Nutt?
Thank you. Through yourself to Ms. Hansen, who I saw in the audience a moment ago, I just wanted to thank you for all your hard work on this and the time that you spent with the project and putting this together. And the time that you took with all the constituents that came out was invaluable. Thank you.
Any more comments? Thank you. Okay, moving on to planning and development 10.1. Good. I'm having a bad night. All right. All in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Now I'm at PDS 78-2016 for the third time this evening.
So moved.
Thank you. The recommendation is a long one, but I think it should be read, that the council approves the Niagara Waterfront Investment Program application as prepared by the Fort Erie Economic Development and Tourism Corporation with the assistance of DJB Chartered Professional Accountants as amended for $850,000 in partnership funding from the Region of Niagara to implement capital improvements recommended in the Bay Beach Master Plan, and further, that council confirms the allocation of $357,500 for the Bay Beach improvements from the Parkland Reserve Fund, and further, that council confirms the allocation of $292,500 for the Bay Beach improvements from the Development Charge Reserve Fund for Parks and Recreation, and further, that council approves the allocation of $350,000 from the Major Capital Reserve Fund for the Bay Beach improvements, and further, that council approves the allocation of $250,000 from the Facilities Maintenance Reserve Fund for the Bay Beach improvements, and further that council confirms by way of its commitment to funding the Bay Beach improvements that it will cover any shortfalls in community fundraising, and further that council confirms in consideration of all the allocations for various reserve funds the commitment of $1,250,000 to the Bay Beach improvements, and further that council authorizes the Director of Planning and Development Services to submit the Niagara Waterfront Investment Program application as amended prior to the extended deadline on behalf of the Town of Port Erie. Can I have it? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Your Worship.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to give, if we could, have Mr. Brady explain why this is coming back before us, because we did approve the application a couple of weeks ago. It was submitted to the region. I understand that there was some concern raised with respect to some aspects. This resolution really simply outlines where all the money is going to be coming from, which we've already essentially approved, with the exception of the piece about the land that we're eventually going to sell, which when it is sold will replenish the reserve funds from which this money will come. And then the part about the community fundraising, we've got 85 out of the 100 that we need for sure. I have no doubt that we're going to collect the other 100, but I wonder if Mr. Brady could just explain why this has been brought back to us in this more detailed recommendation.
Mr. Brady?
Thank you. To Mayor Redekop's question, the reason that this was brought back is as we were having discussions with the region in terms of the actual submission of the request for the grant of $850,000, much to our surprise, the region said, well, we really want to make sure that all the monies are fully committed by the local municipality prior to us considering the grant from the region, which we addressed by saying that they are and that they are being dealt with in the following ways, and the region said that that wasn't sufficient, that what we had had wasn't sufficient. So we sat down, and that's why the allocation of $350,000 from the Major Capital Reserve was arranged, and the allocation of $250,000 from the facilities maintenance. Those were to cover the sale of the land in the future and also to deal with the any possible under shortfalls in community fundraising. So it's very, very clear from the motion that you have before you this evening in terms of the recommendations that all of the monies that the town of Fort Erie is going to commit to this project, plus the money of the $85,000 from the very generous offer from the ratepayers groups to date, is committed, is in place. Woodrow's Lions Club, thank you. And there will be no misinterpretations of that.
Thank you.
Anything further, Your Worship?
No, and I've had some brief discussion with staff at the region with respect to this. They appreciate that it's a very detailed application. I still maintain that there will be no application to this fund that will be anywhere near as detailed or as concise or as... So I thank Mr. Brady for being on top of this, because we wouldn't want to lose this opportunity because of some site.
Thank you, Your Worship. Any more questions or comments? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the region having that conversation and giving us the opportunity versus finding out later on, as has been the case with other organizations. So I appreciate that they reached out and got the information that they wanted, that they knew that they would need during the consideration process. Thank you.
All in favor? Carried. Back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. Did you want to comment, you or Councillor Passero or both of you, with respect to the fantastic event that took place on Jarvis Street on September the 17th with the real gamut of weather, I must say, which you're to be commended on as well?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm sure Councilor Passero want to say a few things too. I'm glad I'm getting a first crack at it because normally I get left at the gate. Well, I'll say that we did get rained on, but we were not daunted by it. We had some very good crowds when we had the sunshine. I mean, it just seemed like as soon as the rain stopped, you have a few thousand people on the street, and that was great. We had great entertainment. I'm sure that our board was a little disappointed that we got rained on, considering we had beautiful weather on either side of that day, and it was fluky that that happened. But really, all the vendors pretty much held in on the street until they were supposed to go. I don't know how much money they made. I mean, but our board certainly looked a little disappointed in the morning, but we're all partying still. And like I said to them, you know, it's all about what's going on at Jarvis Street. It's a celebration of our revitalization. And anybody that goes down there can see it. The work that they have done on that street is phenomenal. And to find a BIA that has members, and each and every one of them have invested on that street in the first 2 years. And it's a credit to all of them that they have invested in their vision of the street, that the street is benefiting by it. And I hope we're not rain-bitten here and that we'll be back next year even bigger and better. But I certainly give credit to all the volunteers that stayed during the rain and just to everybody who took part. It's just a phenomenal amount of work that goes into it. You hate to see the rain, but you know that the effort's been there, and they make a difference every day, and I tell them that each time I see them. Thank you, Your Worship.
Councilor Passero.
I couldn't have said it better myself. The only thing I would add is that when they counted the drink tickets, more drink tickets were sold between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. than any other time slot, and I think it has to do with the beautiful women that were working the table. So I don't know who they were, but if they're out there, thank you.
Better make sure you've got them there next year. Okay, are there any meetings scheduled? If not, Councilor Nutt, would you be so good? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a cemetery board meeting tomorrow at the Leisureplex at 5 o'clock. We also have a strategic business planning session on Wednesday, September 21st at 5:30 here in Conference Room 1.
That's with respect to communications.
Respect to communications.
Any other meetings? Councilor Butler and then Councilor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. There is a chamber business after 5 being held in the Ridgeway Business Improvement Area tomorrow night. Starts at 5 o'clock and runs until 7 o'clock in the evening.
Councilor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I have a library board meeting at Centennial Branch. And the following day, Wednesday at 5 o'clock, I have an Economic Development Corporation meeting.
Any other meetings?
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Tomorrow at 5:30, 40 Active Transportation Committee is meeting here at Town Hall Committee Room 1, and Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. at Douglas Heights, the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee is meeting, and Councilor McDermott's standing invitation is still open.
Okay. If there are no other meetings, Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Council and committee in Town of Fort Erie adjourns at 7:19 p.m. to resume in regular council on September 26th at 6 p.m.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you.